Welcome back to Bonded by Bravo. My name is Amy and I'm joined with my lovely co-host, Dom Jen, aka Jenna. What up, Jen?
Hi, Aim. How are you?
DJ Amy D on the ones and twos. Oh, ever.
Oh boy.
I know. I felt that. It was my
Strong start.
Just drinking my protein smoothie, hoping all goes well. What's going on? What are we talking about this week?
Okay. So we obviously have to talk about Taylor's new album drop and the whole situation with Kim. Mm-hmm. Then we'll just go right into Bravo after that. There wasn't a ton of other pop culture stuff that I feel like anyone was focused on. Mm-hmm. Anyone meaning me.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So then we'll get right into Summer House, the usuals, Summer House, VPR, and then the Valley.
And I also just want to shout out for any of our day one listeners. If you've been here since day one, we just reached our 1 year podcast mark. So we've been doing this for a year, believe it or not. Crazy. If you've been with us for day one, shout out. It's been a journey.
It sure has.
I feel like I want to delete those first few episodes of me just like
1000%
yelling 1000%. Like my mic's not working. Do we have a mic? Is there sound? How do I edit this? But it feels like we finally got into our groove.
It does. And we should also shout out all of our Instagram engagement, which has been really exciting.
Shout out to our Instagram engagement, including shout out to Amanda Batula, who just shady liked one of our reels and then unliked it real quick.
Unliked it. That's all right. We'll take unliked the like.
We'll take the like. There's a photo. I took a photo of it to remember it. But I have been thinking about you all week. On the scale of Swiftie. Where would you, on the scale of 1 to 10, where would you put yourself?
I guess like a 7.5.
Oh my, okay. Seven? A 7.5. Yeah. And I'm probably like a 1 or a 2.
Like, and my journey with Taylor has been, I remember there was a kid in my high school and we were good friends, but he was like first jumped right into Taylor Swift when she first came out with that first album, was obsessed. And I was so.
A boy?
Yeah, and okay. I was so, like, what? I don't get it. Like, I was just, like, not into it. And also, it was so, I was, like, one of my toxic traits back in the day, and I would hope to think that it's not current, like, that's not ongoing, is thinking I had the best taste in music and really putting down
Oh, my God. It is still ongoing. It is still ongoing, for the record.
We all know people who are, like, I heard that band so long ago and she was just not doing
okay,
it for
not
me.
Like that.
Yeah. I feel like I used to be not anymore. And then 1989 came out and that sort of was like, oh, this opened a whole Pandora's box a little bit. And then I've been quietly into her. And then I would say more recently have really gotten into her.
Yeah.
I also, I just also love that this is so cheesy, but I get to like kind of really talk to my cousin who's like so much younger than me about her. And it in a way, it makes me feel like me liking Taylor Swift makes me feel really connected to her. And we didn't always have that. We live far apart. We don't see each other all the time, but like now we like text and stuff and it's like so cute. And I like it. Yeah.
And I bet you that's why a lot of moms also love what she's doing. It's so funny that you were listening to Taylor Swift in high school. I was listening to like Biggie and Little Kim and Tupac.
Well, let me be clear. Different. I wasn't listening to Taylor Swift.
Oh, you weren't. It's just weird that she came out like while you were in high school.
We're the
same age. Just you and Taylor Swift. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's the same age as my husband. Okay, anyway. I think that, well, you got me into 1989.
That's so good.
When we were working, we were obsessed with that album. We would play it every single morning. I got you the record as your going away present. Mm-hmm. And we listened to literally, I mean, the amount of times we listened to that in my car, I just can't. But that was it. And I actually went to that concert with someone who was one of the regulars at our restaurant. I actually went.
Oh, really?
To the concert. She asked me, she's like, do you want to go to Taylor Swift? The ticket was $125. And I was like, yeah. And we decided the day of, like, imagine if you could have done that. Yeah. No and way. I went and saw her. And, like, I was like, oh, this is great. And we probably left, like, halfway through, you know? Like, we were, like, just, like, wanting to be, like, part of the experience.
The other thing with that album, go ahead.
No, it's just, like, so I would say I'm, like, oh, after that album, I think – before all that, it like the airy fairy part of it, like I couldn't get into that type. Like that to me was her first like poppy album.
Before that, it was definitely country, and I was so anti-country. Like that was the box that she was put in. It was like she wasn't ever represented at like the MTV Music Awards or any of that. Yeah. It was very specific to country. I think she was even like living in Nashville at that time. But the other thing I think about that 1989 album, and I think probably anyone who's in, you don't even have to be into music, but when there's when there's an album or a song that reminds you of such a specific time in your life, like that album, I mean, you think about it, the Barbary used to do like, remember they hosted like, they were like Taylor Swift nights, and it was like, but in a dance party setting. And I'm sorry, but that was, they were some of the best nights. Like so
I remember to Shake It Off, we would blast it setting up on Sunday mornings. And one of the runners and me would always goof off. I want to say his name so bad. We would always goof off, and I jumped off the side, and he's the only person that could have caught me. Yeah. And he like caught me. We basically pretended we were using like the bar as like the runway, and we're doing like the shake it up. Like we're doing the whole thing. It was like an album for everyone. And I mean, Blank Space, we would just sit there and scream. I remember we used to fit like six people in my car, in my Honda Accord that was so beat up. And like, and it wasn't even that long ago.
Well, memories, that's you're a right. Perfect segue when you just said that was an album for everyone. So the thing with this album, I can totally acknowledge that like this is not an album for everyone. And the way that I've seen so much sort of like, it feels very black and white on the internet about it. It seems like there's no gray area. It's like, what is this or love it? Yeah. And I do love it, but I also think, you know, like I said, I've gotten a little bit more into her recently or like the last couple of years, but also like to me, it was like, damn, like her brain is just, I don't know. It just was kind of amazing. Like the way that she can articulate like her feelings and put them into song. Like to me, this actually did feel like poetry.
Well, it's funny because I think this album is for the Swifties and the Swifties love it. I have a lot of opinions about it. I also want to say there was a few podcasts back where like I said some stuff about Taylor Swift. And one of those things that I said was that she wasn't a great songwriter or that she didn't write all of her songs or like something to that degree.
I remember
and
this.
I just want to eat those words.
Okay.
Because like that was
untrue too.
Yeah. Like obviously most artists have somebody that they co-write with in any degree. And that's really what I was saying. But also like that just was, I just think that I just want to take those words back. And I think this is the album for this to me was an album for the Swifties. I personally didn't enjoy it there. I mean, I'm not gonna say I didn't enjoy it, but for me, a lot of it sounded the same. Each song sounded the same. And I like her pop albums. I can say more. Mm-hmm. Like if you talk to me about Midnights and you talk to me about those songs, I'm like, bam, bam, love it. Mastermind. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But again, I also like pop music. I'm not going to get in here and like dissect the lyrics and do all the things that I know a lot of the Swifties are having fun doing. And I can be fair about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sitting. That's why I didn't. Yeah, the decoding, like all of the songs. Well, to be honest, this album did not need a ton of the internet sleuth to decode. I mean, it was like written on the wall or in mm-hmm. the song, I should say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just like last night I put it on and I was like, oh, I'll just listen to one song before I like go to bed or whatever. And I'm like sitting in the bathroom. And I was like, oh, well, one more. I'm literally just sitting in the bathroom. Like I couldn't get out of the bathroom because I was like, I need, okay, one more hit. Like, it was like one more hit. Like, I just was like, so, I was like, finally, I had to just turn off this Bose speaker. And I was like, all right, we're calling it. Like, we're done for the night.
When I said I was thinking about you this week too, I also was thinking about, I know when I first met you, it caught me so off guard how ride or die you were for the Kardashians. It like... It thoroughly like threw me for a loop. I was like,
throws everyone.
Yeah. And I'm like, who is this chick? Like, I don't get it. Like the guy you were dating at the time went down to Dash in Miami and bought you like a bag, not a bag, but like a makeup case, a bag from there. And I was like, this is so weird. Like you do not give off the Kardashian love and energy, especially at that time, because that time they were not as streamlined yet. It was more of like people would mock them and, you know,
an early adapter.
You were an early adapter. Good for you. Yeah. But I just want to know, like, where's your head at with the Thank You, Amy song?
I'm so happy you asked. I've been waiting for someone to ask me this all week.
I just was like, I know what I think, but I know that you told me so much more about the story of what happened with Taylor, how she went into hiding after all this stuff happened with Kim leaking the voicemail and editing the voicemail. Like you told me that stuff. So you obviously have opinions about this.
I do. So I have a couple like contradicting thoughts. Mm. I don't love like, you know, continued like beefs and like, especially women against like, just the women against women. I think that the media already does such a profound job constantly pitting women against each other. So in that respect, I was like, a little like, oh, should we have let it go? But then I was like, she has never said a word about it. Like she has never really done it. I mean, she doesn't do a ton of like long form interviews anyway, but like she really has, if you even do any of like the late nights, it's never come up. Like it's been untouched by her. And I think she wrote something before this album came out. I think it was on her Instagram, basically saying like every song on this album is, I'm putting it out there. It's coming out of my brain. It's on the paper now. Now this chapter is closed. Done. Yeah. Like this is the end of all of that for me.
Yeah.
And so then like listening to that song, I also, and like, she does say, there is like a part in the song where she says like, basically like she would not be at this place in life without that situation that put her in such a weird headspace and like kind of made her disappear, so to speak, for a while. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's her right to, you know, say what she wants to say about it in her art form. I mean, Kanye sure as hell did.
So many times.
And she really never sent anything back. And then it's like, when I was texting with my cousin, she was like, also it's weird that like, you know, everyone wants to say, Taylor, let it go. But it's like, also Kim, why are you hiring all of the people in her closest circle to do your campaigns? Like, I don't think Kim is doing it maliciously. Like I really don't. But I do think it's weird. Like, no one can convince me otherwise that it's not weird that she hired Ice Spice, Lana Del Rey, Brittany Mahomes, and...
Oh, my God.
And Brittany Sabrina Holmes. Carpenter. Like,
and you know Brittany Holmes was like, oh, my God, Brittany Holmes, that thirsty bitch.
And it's like, Taylor's not going to tell people not to get their bag. Like, I'm sure she was paying a shit ton of money to be in those campaigns. It's also great PR for those people individually. But it is a little weird. Like, there are a lot of famous people in the world. A lot. And she has connections to all of them.
Remember how Taylor Swift was in Katy Perry's music video and that, like, squashed their beef?
Yes.
Like, imagine this happened. I know that you love... Okay, go ahead.
So that's my next thought. So now I hope that, like, okay, she got her art out. It's out there, like, whatever. Let's, you know, bury the hatchet at this point. I don't like that Kim came out and said, like, she wants her to get over it or whatever. It's like, no.
Did she say that?
Yeah, her camp came out and it was through People, which, you know, it's a reliable source. Like, I wish she didn't say that. I wish she almost would have stayed silent as Taylor did for so many years. But either way, now moving forward, it would be so iconic to see them come together in some way. I don't know what that looks like, but I think
exactly what it looks like. We know
I don't want it to be on just Kim's terms. Like, that's the thing. Like, if she does a Skims campaign, I don't know. I don't think
Taylor would do that either, knowing what you said now.
It's also not really for her. Like, Taylor doesn't need to be doing campaign or like an apparel.
Like Brittany Holmes does. Sure doesn't.
You know?
I think the other thing that's like a little interesting is like at this point, Taylor's got it off her chest. I think Taylor can forgive and not forget, but there's almost this part of me, like, I was just talking about this, but if you do me dirty one time, like, I'm probably not gonna, I'll always remember.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Kim basically made her stay in her house for a year. I don't think Kim is deserving of Taylor's energy or like not time, but like, I just don't think she deserves it from Taylor.
It would still be a very break the internet moment if they
for sure
come together. And, like, can you imagine the internet
and
would
I don't
literally break
and I was thinking about this too when we were talking about this, is like, I feel like the Kardashians haven't really been like, Kim dated OBJ and like no one gave a shit. No one's talking about them right now. I haven't seen any like previews for them to come out on Hulu. Like, I don't know what's going on.
She lost over 100,000 followers after the album.
We'll see. And speaking of.
I don't know.
What, that this will do anything for?
I mean, I don't think you know, losing 100,000 followers when you have
out of 53. Jillion,
it's like kind of like a 150 dime. What's that saying? Like a
drop in the bucket.
A drop in the bucket. There it is. But yeah, I think to tie it all up, love the album. Totally understand that some people don't. I think it is an album for the Swifties. What I do think is going to happen next, though, is we're going to get a happy pop album that it's going to be very much about this exciting time in her life. And then it's going to chill. And I think that that's when she'll go into.
I think she needs to chill now.
I think she might. I mean, maybe this could be it. I've seen a little bit of that online saying like this was sort of like a farewell, like tie up loose ends album. And then she's going to now, after she finishes this Eras tour, then she'll probably like kick back. I mean, she also is getting like, if her and Travis are really, you know, if they're really in it, like he has spoken publicly about how he, like pre-Taylor, about how, you know, he looks at Jason and like sees him with his kids, and that's something that he really wants. And
Taylor
and I are the same age, so
she's
like
34.
It's very much in like the zeitgeist, but it's very much in our, like, it's what's happening right now for our age.
I mean, speaking of pop icons, I know you said there wasn't any other pop culture news, but FYI, did you see the videos from Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday party over the weekend?
Yeah.
Now, I feel like you probably were too young for the Spice Girls.
Oh, no, I was obsessed. Everything I owned.
Oh, my God.
Every pencil case.
Really?
Every shirt. Every dance. I still know the dance that my cousins and I made up in the basement.
Oh, my God.
Oh
my God. Watch same. And I probably, like, now that you're saying that you and your cousins did that, like, I probably, that's what I'm wondering. I was like a preteen. I probably was like 12 or 13. Definitely not making out with boys. I'll tell you that. But they were everything. I went to the movie. Remember the movie?
Yes. And I went on opening day Spice World with three of my girlies. It was so good.
Well, yeah, I remember the dance, and then you had to like perform it for your families and the t-shirts. I just seeing that little snippet from David Beckham's Instagram of them just doing the stop right now. I just thought, like, can y'all figure it out and give us like a 10 city US tour. Just come on. Please or do, like, it for, even like, do it for us.
Yeah. God, that would be so sick.
Could you imagine? I would pay top. People would pay so much money because people our age, like, it would be a dream. I couldn't afford to go to the concert then. My parents sure as hell weren't paying to go see them. I remember my friend went to that concert and I was so jealous. I was like the most jealous. That's when I learned jealousy. You know, you're like, oh my God, she has something I want. So it was really, it was good to, that really made me excited, but who knows? Maybe it's a preview, but, jumping into Bravo. I know that we have Summer House, Vanderpump and the Valley to talk about. I just rewatched Summer House to be, to be fresh for this. And okay. Number one thought is I missed Jesse. Loved him.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I did. I missed him. And second, that conversation in the kitchen when they're there and they're like, they're talking to Danielle about her date and they're like, did you go to a bar or a restaurant? Bar. Did you go bowling or this? Was it drinks or cocktails? And then Wes goes, where did he come? And it was just like, oh my God, that's the funniest.
What conversation was this? I just watched this too.
In the very beginning, me and Meek were peeing our pants. In the very beginning, she's like, I went on a date last night. I had sex.
Oh, yes. In the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
She's wearing a shirt I like.
Okay. And they're in the kitchen. And I was like, oh my God, this is like, his lines are so freaking iconic. And just, anyway. You had, there's also been in the rumor mill. I don't know if anybody saw on Bravo Less, or if you follow Lindsay or Carl or anything, they were all at this wedding in Portugal and Lindsay brought her new man. Now, y'all.
Yes, I saw that.
There are rumors that I may or may not have confirmed with our girl, Bravo and Cocktails, that Lindsay is expecting with the new boyfriend.
Did you say confirm or allegedly confirmed?
Allegedly confirmed. I said allegedly confirmed. Yeah. I didn't allegedly confirm. Allegedly.
Okay.
Allegedly, we're going to hear in the next few weeks. Allegedly,
Amy is confirming that Lindsay is pregnant.
Amy 101. I'm always going to allegedly confirm. Yeah. Allegedly, Lindsay's pregnant. Bombshell should be dropping in the next few weeks.
I have to say, you know what? I'm happy for her.
Me too. It's all she's ever wanted.
It's like, yeah. And it's like, there's clearly so many ways to have a family. And if it doesn't work out with the guy, then so be it. Like,
for sure.
That child, I'm sure, will be so loved anyway. And that's really all that matters.
I feel like this is all she's ever wanted. I also would like to point out, I went strong last week about cutting dicks off. And if my husband stayed out till 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. So my friend sends me a voice note this week. She's like, I was listening to the podcast. And I'm like, yeah. She sends me a voice note. She's like, you know, I was listening to the podcast and I just find it a little ironic that you're saying that you would cut Meek's dick off. Meanwhile, I'm pretty sure I was the one standing next to you at the bar at 3:30 on Friday night.
Okay. Wait, I did not think about this until after we recorded last week, but I was like, I'm pretty sure she was telling me about how she ended up at a bar, like literally right downstairs by her house till like it was closed.
Five
in the morning. Yeah. And I'm like, is this okay? Whatever. But I didn't think about it until after we recorded. And I was like, damn, that would have been a good moment to bring that up.
It was the funniest thing. And I was like, that's Amy 101. One thing I'm going to be is I'm going to be a hypocrite. I love the double standard. I don't think I would cut. I just want to reiterate.
I have the trauma. Meek doesn't have the trauma.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah, I think I got in 3:30 on Friday night. He was fast asleep, didn't give a shit. So anywho, I just wanted to clear that up. Let's talk about the episode.
Let's. Before we totally get into Summer House.
Tell me. Oh, God, what? I have
a little bit of bone to pick with Loverboy.
Oh, yeah.
Amanda and Kyle, if you're listening, I love you guys.
Love.
But I don't know what's going on with the customer service over at Loverboy, but I put in an order. It'll be on April 5th. This was before, I understand that some of the stuff about the limoncello spritz, like, was out of stock, but that was after I had already ordered. And then I've been going back and forth for literally, like, what is this, 3 weeks now? And I don't really have many answers. They, like, tried to send me some kind of, they were like, oh, it should be sent out on the 22nd. And anyway, I don't want to make this too long, but, like, guys, if you're listening, I just really want to drink your limoncello. Like, I felt inspired by Paige's Italian soiree. And I have a friend coming to town this weekend that's also a Bravo listener. And I, like, when I ordered it on April 5th, I assumed it would be here by April 27th. And now I still don't have any tracking information. They sent me something and I copy and paste the number into the thing. Doesn't exist. And then I responded and I obviously still don't have a response. Like, their response time too, like, is like 2.5 to 3 days, like, via email, which I kind of feel like is long. No,
especially the way the world works nowadays. But that doesn't mean that they can change things around and get it back. We still have faith. Yeah. We still want to buy your product.
I do. I honestly, yeah, a like lot. There was like part of me that was like, this is it with Loverboy. And then in the back of my head, I was like, well, if it's really good and there's no sugar added, then like the no sugar added, I can picture Kyle doing, like, there was something I saw him do. He's like, and it was like an ad for Loverboy. And he was pointing at how much sugar is in certain like canned cocktails versus theirs. And I was like, yeah. Like, I love this for me. Like, I don't want all of that sugar, especially this.
So great sell.
Yeah. Like, once you kind of understand what a gram of a powder looks like, you can't unsee it in your cans.
Are you really doing this?
I'm just saying, like, I know, like, like 12 grams of something, that's so much sugar. It's so, oh my God, her shoulder just went out.
It's okay. Oh my God.
You know, but anyway.
Yeah, it's a lot of grams.
It's a lot of grams. And so I'm really into this no added sugar situation for myself, but apparently it's not coming.
Well, We have faith that they can turn it around.
I kind of feel like I'm not going to end up getting it, to be honest.
Well, then get your dang money back. I'll see if when you come out here, if I can get some on the table for you when you get here.
Okay. Well, anyway, so let's get into the episode.
Yeah, tell me. What did you think?
Go ahead.
It's like mid-season episode. It wasn't like, oh my God, there's all these crazy things happening. There were, like, we talk about Lindsay and Carl again. Can I say one thing about Lindsay and Carl? Mm-hmm.
I have stuff to say about this too.
If the editors could take out the baby talk for me, that would be great, because it's making me want to vom.
Preach.
It's every episode she's like,
preach.
And then he kissed her feet after she was in the bar all night. Could you imagine? Like, and it's the summer. You know she's in sandals. She's walking around sandals.
Sweaty feet.
The baby talk, like, I get it. Look, let's be honest. I don't know if you do this, but I'd say majority of people probably do some sort of familiar talk to each other. But I don't want to see that on my TV. It makes me, if they could edit it out for the rest of the season, I'd be happy. Shout out, Bravo. Love you. Go ahead.
Not picturing you baby talking to Meek now.
I do not baby talk Meek.
I can't. No.
I don't.
There's just no way that you would. No. There's just no. No. If there's one thing you're not doing, it's baby talk.
Ugh.
Vom. Okay. Let's move on.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. I did want to just, I have mentioned this a few times about Wes kind of talking about the layoff situation, the job stuff. And it's just interesting because it keeps just like we were walking in the park the other day. This guy behind me is like, oh yeah, it sounded like it was going well. And like, he was talking about his layoff and how his like job hunt's going. This is someone I don't know. This is a complete stranger at the dog park. I was like
overhearing.
And then this guy I see at the bar that I've seen like a few times, I was like, oh, how's it going? He's like, just got laid off. And I'm like, damn, okay. Like this is happening.
Yeah.
But when Wes is like kind of talking about it, I don't know. I think it just brings some sort of realness to the show. And that got me really thinking about, and this, what I'm about to say isn't specific, just like, you know, a specific recap on this episode, but it's kind of like a bigger picture when I think about Summer House and Vanderpump Rules, I don't find myself thinking about what's next for the cast of Summer House, because it's so evidently clear to me that like these people have come into this for the most part as like a temporary thing or a leg up, or they're going to use this opportunity to leverage onto something else, or they already have jobs. And this really is, I mean, you think about how the show started, all had jobs, come for the weekend. And then you look at a show like Vanderpump and we're constantly kind of like, what's next for them? What are they going to do? How's their money going to get made? Because they've all really put their eggs in that basket, all of their eggs.
But if you think about it, it's more like you said, it's the setup of the show. Like Summer House was set up to work all week and then come to Long Island on the weekends. Mm-hmm. Whereas Vanderpump was set up, we're watching them at work. And now we're watching them transition from not working in the service industry anymore and trying to figure out what those jobs are that they want to do. I think the one thing that keeps it real about West is a few of the folks have already kind of transitioned into this like influencer-y role. Mm-hmm. And he's still in the regular day-to-day thing. Yeah. But even Danielle, like she's starting an app.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Carl's still like, worried about getting a typical job. You know what
so
I mean?
So they must, Summer House has always been like the like redheaded stepchild of Bravo, but I think it's starting to come up and up because you figure there's probably not as many episodes. They're not filming as often as some of these other seasons. You know, they filmed July and August. Vanderpump shoots from like May to September, I think. So that's 4 months out of their year. That's a long commitment. But yeah, I mean, we all know Wes gets the job at Complex. Let's be real. Yeah. We all know he gets the job. I love him.
We know.
Yeah. What do you think?
I just thought it was, I just wanted to kind of, I don't, it was just a thought I was having and I was like, oh, I wonder if I should mention this on the pod since we have one of those to do that.
I'm actually considering for my sketch comedy show on June 7th at the Pit in New York City, more details to follow. I'm actually considering, we're writing a sketch on making fun of podcasters.
Wow, look at that.
I have so much to pick from. It's very so meta. Much content. Anywho, what did you think? So there's this part of me that, and tell me, the West and Sierra thing, where's your head at with them? I feel like I'm almost kind of
over it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. Paige said, like, do you feel like you're getting friend zoned? And it almost feels that way. There's not really sexual tension there for two people that haven't had sex.
No, I totally agree. In the very early, like, first, second episode, I said, I don't know, I was getting kind of like platonic vibes. And then the following week, I was like, actually, I retract that because they were so like cute and flirtatious and whatever. And now I'm going back to my original thought that this just ain't it.
I think Sierra is still so reserved and doesn't want to do any of this on camera. And I appreciate everything Sierra is saying about not wanting to like jump into bed. And like, I totally get that. Like, abso-freaking-lutely. But I just feel like I don't see the tension there anymore.
I don't either. And going back to his job stuff, I do kind of have to wonder, like, how does that play a role in this? Because, I mean, he says it himself that it's something he's, like, insecure about. Like,
yeah,
like, she's signed a modeling contract and I don't got a job. And like that is not sexy.
But you know what? There's something about West's honesty, vulnerability, and insecurities mm-hmm. that also wreak confidence. And I don't know how to explain that in a different way. Like him being vulnerable and being insecure. Oh, look, they think they agree with us. Yeah. Him being vulnerable and insecure, like, makes me feel like it's showing his confidence about who he is.
Totally.
I was thinking that for Sierra, I want her Travis Kelce. I want her to get her Travis Kelce. Like, I feel like she needs an established man.
Yeah.
Who is going to, like, protect her in the way that we first got goosebumps when we saw Travis Kelce open that door for Taylor Swift in Soho. We were like, oh, shit, PQs.
Yeah. I find, yeah, I could, I see her with someone older than her.
For sure. For sure. Right? She just gives off different,
Yeah. She's like a very, just super adult energy, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think, like, okay, so what did you think of this moment where Danielle says to Danielle and Paige and Kyle, like, obviously there's this produced scene where they bring the three of them outside of the club. Shout out to Amanda who showed her tit on National
I was just about to say that. I was like, Amanda getting lit this night, and I was here for it.
I loved it.
I know. Did you see the girl's face in the background?
She could not. She's like, oh my God. Amanda has the biggest, greatest boobs for the tiniest little girl.
I know.
Lucky bae. But this conversation, I was like, what? Like, Danielle just feels like she is absolutely projecting her own insecurities of being single. She also isn't that great of friends with Paige to be putting her on blast like that.
I think Kyle was even shocked. He was like, oh.
His face. Yeah, it just. Yeah.
So I have a few thoughts on this. Okay, we cannot deny that. And even if Craig is doing all of the work on his own, he's the one getting up and going to the gym. He's making his coin. He's doing all of these things. I'm not negating that at all. But to say that he has not had a glow up in direct correlation with him dating Paige would just be a lie. It's just not, like, absolute you lie. Can see it. He started dating and he just got better and better. His emotional intelligence, his appearance, like the way that he is on both shows. Like, he is so,
his pillows,
as a businessman, like, he really has evolved. And I would say that Paige probably has something to do with that. And 100%. I think that's great. And I think that, and I'm sure he's done plenty for her as well.
I don't agree with that.
What?
I don't agree that Craig is elevating Paige the same way that Paige is elevating.
Oh,
Craig.
No, not in the same. Yeah. But I just don't want to, like, totally disregard that Craig isn't bringing anything to the table.
I think what Danielle said was so wrong.
Because here's the other thing. The question, if you look at any of, like, the Watch What Happens Lives or any of the interviews, it's always, is Paige going to move to Charleston? Very rarely is Craig going to come to New York. You know who has business in New York? Craig and Paige.
Yeah.
Paige does not have business in Charleston. So it's like, there's actually more of a reason for him to come up to New York.
Because
she's the woman, she has to go to him?
I have so many things. Okay. I think as an outsider watching seeing their relationship, I think what Danielle was trying to say, instead of you don't give him anything, I think Danielle's projecting in a sense that, like, Craig's telling you that he wants to marry you. Why on God's earth would you not want to marry this man? Like, he's telling you this. He's saying that he wants to marry you. And as someone who's in Danielle's position where she's single and that's not happening for her. I feel like mm-hmm. she's saying, like, you're not giving him anything. Whereas Paige is 31, still trying to figure it out, still wants to get her ducks in a row, still has this huge decision. They still have a huge decision on where they want to settle down. And if she doesn't see her life in Charleston, then guess what? One way or the other, it's not going to go. I personally don't think they will. I just don't think they're going to make it down the altar. I see from her this... I think
that they are going to make it, but I think what's happening right now, I think that her and Craig have sat down and talked about like the finances and the opportunities that they're being given right now. And that like, this mm-hmm. is their moment. And I think that I think Paige is smart enough to know that like moments can be fleeting and to not, and I think she's even talked about it before that like, you know, when she got on reality TV, it was with a plan. She did come with a plan. Like, this is, okay, this could, you know, further my career. This could give me opportunities for this. And she came in and was like, this is how I'm going to use this opportunity. And she's doing Absolutely. A really, really great job with it. And I think that they both probably are like, we are in our prime. People like us. We are getting opportunities. Like, I bet their email inboxes are blowing up, that they have people giving them offers all of the time. And I feel like they're just like, right now, it is time to make our money so that we are setting ourselves up so that we are good moving forward down the line.
I think this is a lot of financial stuff. Yeah, but why can't they get married and still do the financial stuff? People are still going to want them if they get married.
But why do they like, have to get married so
I don't think they have to get married, but I think like for that is the reason. I think Paige is hesitant to marry him.
I don't think so.
And I think she has reasons. And I think it'll be interesting how the next 2 or 3 years, because I don't think he's going to wait around that long.
I think
he wants this more than he does. I mean, fingers crossed. I would never want someone not to.
I feel the love between them. I feel like there's a comfortability between those two.
I definitely think they love each other, but I think the comfortability looks almost like if you watch episodes of the way that she was with Per, it's almost like she doesn't, I'm trying to think, like she wears the pants in that relationship 100%. And maybe
that's her trauma, you know?
But I don't think that's what she needs. That's my thoughts.
I think she likes to wear the pants.
Anyway. I think she thinks she likes to wear the pants, but she doesn't want to.
We're going to go back and forth all day about
who wears the pants? Who wears the pants in your relationship?
I think it's equal. We talked about this, actually. I don't know how this came up. Mm. Someone was talking. We were talking about alpha versus, like, beta energy, and we were like, oh, who's who? But I think between the two of us, it's pretty equal.
Yeah. I always say, like, on the outside to others, it appears that I wear the pants, but we all know when it gets down to it at home that he wears the pants.
Oh, interesting.
I like to give the appearance.
Yeah.
I'm full of shit.
Yeah, I don't know. What would you say from looking at, like, who would you think between Kyle and I?
It's so weird because I would think it is absolutely equal.
It really is.
I'm thinking about
this. There's just, like... Yeah, I don't know.
You guys like super respect each other.
That's I was going to say. There's so much respect and admiration on both ends that it's like he thinks I'm so badass and I think that. So I don't know how one of us could be.
Yeah. I'm thinking about that. Interesting question. I'm not going to ask the question in reverse because I don't want to know what you think. Anywho, we get into this.
I do have thoughts, but yeah.
Tell me. Wait, now you have to tell me.
I think that you were in terms of like doing like certain planning stuff, but when it comes to like financial big decisions, like he's going to carry a little bit more weight.
Of course.
Does that track?
Yeah, of course. And it's like, I just need to, it's more like.
Which is great.
I need to act like I'm wearing the pants. And he doesn't need to act like he's wearing the pants. I need to act like I'm wearing the pants. And he... we just got a thumbs up from our MacBooks. Anywho, we all wear the pants. I just want to, like, the last thing to chat about is how weird this balloon guy Joe situation is.
No, there's one more thing I want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Okay, tell me.
I want to talk just a little bit more about, I know it's just going back to the Lindsay and Carl thing real quick. This comment, this whole like conversation they were having at the UFO party. And she's like, I like my guy to be like, what is, I don't know, what the crushing life. And he's like, do you think I'm crushing life? And she's like, no,
I don't.
And
I was like,
oh my God. And I am just, so I was, I don't want to take full credit for this thought, although I did have it separately from listening to the podcast, but on Nick Viall's podcast, he does like a reality recap each week. And I tend
so
to,
good.
Yeah, I'm like kind of in a, I kind of agree with him quite a bit. I don't know anything about this guy, except.
But yeah. And there's the way that he articulates his thoughts that I'm also envious of. He has such a good way of articulating it.
So he says something about, and again, I've had this thought originally by myself, but how resistant, I understand that Bravo has a problem with breaking the fourth wall. And although they do it here and there, they really try and stay away from it. And I understand how that could be bad for the show at times. But like in this modern era of having these blogs like the Bravo and Cocktails and the DeMois and all of these like other podcasts that everyone's doing and the endorsements, the ads on Instagram, like all of that stuff. It's like at some – and like we know that they get those ads and those followings because of the show and they make money off of those. So it's almost like when they're having these conversations about his work and stuff, I kind of am like, I wish they would allow him to say like, but I am making money. I am working right now. Like I'm getting paid for this right now. Also, like I know that you're making money on ads, but I too am making money on ads. Like I think he already said he made like, she makes more than him, but he pulls in over 50K or I think he said like $70,000 in just Instagram ads. So it's like.
The hell?
That's like not nothing. Plus,
no, but it's not enough to afford a $13,000 a month apartment.
But what I'm saying is like that's not with the price per episode or like the what he's making per episode for Summer House, plus like different appearances. So it's like, yes, he doesn't have a job in the in the typical sense, but also you don't either. And it's like I just wish he, like, I wonder if he was, but like, I wonder if there was part of him that was like, I wish I could just say like,
but how many times I feel like on shows where we know that they're just going along with the storyline, even though we already know what's happening.
I guess that's my other point. Like, I understand Bravo's point of view and like wanting to kind of refrain from doing that, but it's like, but we already know.
Yeah.
You know, like
maybe,
you're not,
but do the moms, that, really. Not the moms, but do the like Kellys of Kansas know who aren't on the blogs and who aren't like, you know, are they playing the game for, there's obviously people that are still following along regardless. I was so taken aback. Like the thing that I got from this conversation that you also wrote in the notes was just like, I think any person trying to go along with their partner's journey and being patient with it, that's a whole other ball game. The one thing I thought when I watched it back today was like, we're watching Carl talk about all of the red flags this season. Mm-hmm. I think the scary thing is that Lindsay's in this relationship too, and Lindsay was gonna get married to the red flags. Yeah. I think that's the really scary part, that she was literally going to walk down the aisle to a man who didn't have his future planned out up to her standards, which is, if that's really what it is, what she's saying out of her mouth that she believes is happening, you're still going to marry this person that you feel like might not be financially stable.
It goes back to that fairy tale thing.
Right. She like, just is so obsessed with it.
Wanted to marry her best friend. Yeah.
Right.
Like it was, that became like the elephant in the room that was, but
it's
like, I don't know.
It's frightening to sit there and be like, why aren't you running from these red flags yourself? Yeah. Why aren't you having these conversations with people? I mean, you're talking about your sex life, but you're never saying like, maybe we should be worried. Like she never seems concerned.
I would guess that the sex life is going back to probably the job stuff and him feeling a little insecure or whatever. Like,
that was so weird.
I don't know. But yeah. All right. Well, does that do it for Summer House?
I think so. We don't need to talk about the balloon guy. I don't know why he was getting so much play.
Hold on. I do want to just briefly chat about the jeans. I don't want to shade balloon guy Joe because, you know, I love a guy out there working with his hands. I don't give a fuck what you're doing. If you're working with your hands, I'm down. But when you're rolling up with jeans ripped at the knees and your ankles cuffed so tight, it just was not working. It was just not working.
I just thought, like, these girls.
Carhartt jeans or whatever, Carhartts, some boots and a white tee. Come on.
You're literally just explaining your own boyfriend's outfit. Jesus, God. Why don't you just put on Kyle's outfit and just show up? He would look better in that outfit.
Yes, exactly. Also, we started selling stuff on Depop or whatever to get rid of some stuff. And let me tell you, all of Kyle's stuff going way quicker than mine. I'm like, God, you do got swag. I'm so pumped.
That's funny.
I was like, I'm out here looking like a trash bag.
I just think it's funny. Still got those hand-me-downs.
I hate shopping.
Fair. I just thought it was funny that Balloon Joe was getting so much play. I'm like, Balloon Joe's the hottest guy at the party. And like, Gabby does not give me, like,
no.
Gabby's not going to sit there and go fight for the same guy. They're like, Lindsay's like, get back out there and flirt with this guy. Gabby's not going to flirt and try to be like a pick me girl for Balloon Guy Joe. Love you, Balloon Guy Joe. Like, I think he's like.
When the girls were like, oh, she's swooping in, it's like, but he wasn't really brought there for just Gabby. Like, this part I didn't really agree with. Like, some of the stuff Danielle does is like, wow. But I was like, to me, he kind of showed up and was like, fair game. It was kind of like,
100%.
Whoever gets him first, gets him first. And Danielle was like, got it.
And to be quite honest, the attention that he gave the most
Lindsay.
Was Lindsay. I was like, I'm thinking, Lindsay, you look great. He didn't say that to any of the other girls.
I know. Anywho. So true. Well,
let's move on to VPR.
Let's.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Where do we
start? I just want to point out that I'm really disappointed that this really could have been a season of these girls banding together like the Spice Girls. And
like Ariana said.
And like really just, you know, even if they did it just for TV, banding together and just not being so against, like they could have been against the boys together. And that would have been great TV because these are buffoons, these men. Like these are not even men.
Such a good word.
I don't ever use that word. This might be honestly the first time ever, but I cannot think of a better word for Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval. Like, it's boggling to me that this is.
I think buffoons give them too much credit.
That these girls have a rift because of something that, like, dealing with these guys, these ones?
The one this with is, the, like, yellow tint hair. And the other guy who has a full manicure with beach waves on his hand.
Sad for women everywhere.
It sure is. And they both have girlfriends now. Granted, these girlfriends are absolutely 24 years old because no one in their 30s in their right mind would date either of these two. Love you. You know what I loved seeing in this episode that made me – it was probably my favorite scene in the entire episode was watching Katie and Schwartz go out to – lunch. I saw this one meme today that was like, Katie and Schwartz have more sexual chemistry now than they did in all of their years that we've seen them married. And I was like, that's interesting.
I've seen this a few times and I don't see the sexual chemistry, but I see chemistry, like whatever that, like a friendship, like a very like goofy kind of like, you hate your friend on the chat.
And it didn't make me sad that they broke up. It just, I was so happy that they were in a scene together being goofy and saying dumb, like they were talking about nothing, but I would love to see more scenes where they were like that. Yeah. And then the other scene was that Ariana and Schwartz had a sit down and
that was cute.
She softened to him
quite a bit.
quite a bit, quite like quickly. Like almost
entirely.
Right. And I loved seeing that too.
Yeah. She then there was all the out, other. I think she was at the LA something.
Something. I saw that.
LA yeah. Film Fest or Times Fest. Yeah. I don't know what it was called. But she, I think this is where someone had asked her a little bit about the season and she was kind of like, yeah, I wish there was a little bit more time, but like, I was kind of deep in the throes of like my feelings when we were filming this. Like I, you know, the way that I, she's like basically saying like, yeah, today my response to a lot of this would be different, but this was right after it.
Right.
And we've been absolutely. Saying that. And it's just like, why anyone thinks that she should have been over those feelings at the point of filming is just beyond.
I think also in that interview, she said like, they were trying so hard to give Tom Sandoval a redemption season. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he just wouldn't take it. He take still it. Kept, she's like, they I were know. Really trying to give him the redemption season. And he's just so dumb that he just kept screwing it up.
I know. He really is something, something, something. All right. Well, yeah. Before we talk too much about Sandoval, he takes up so much of our time. I do want to just talk about the situation with Brock and Sheena, I think is kind of interesting.
Red flags. Yeah.
Well, but also like I think that it's fair that he, how do I don't want any, wait, let me think about this because I don't want to like put anyone I know on blast right now. So I'm just trying to reel it in. I think that it's, to me, I like that he wants to get out of the house and get a job. Like some people would be fine with that. And, you know, I guess that's, it's almost like the exact opposite what's happening with like Lindsay and Carl. Like he wants to leave the house and go find something that gets him out of the house to have a little bit of separation. And Sheena's looking at it like it's a bad thing because she wants his help. And even in the after show, Lala was saying like, if he got a job and was not readily available for Sheena, and Lala was like, I hope she doesn't get mad at me for saying this, but like, if he can't bring her something at the drop of a hat any moment, she's going to have a problem with that. And so,
but
it's like,
I also, I felt like they were trying to phrase it as like, I felt like the story they were trying to paint was like stay at home dads are a thing too. And it shouldn't
totally,
be.
But
yeah.
I
and
don't
I think
that
like,
that's what he that's, wants.
Right. Yeah,
and I think that's,
and I think that's all Sheena wants for him because she doesn't want to have the anxiety to worry about who's taking care of her kid.
But I
and
but
then
it's
so
like working gives you so much, whatever it is, like gives you
yeah.
value and makes you feel part of something and that like you're contributing in some way. And I don't
and
see why it's a bad thing that he wants to work.
And it's just so funny because then Sheena starts crying and manipulates the whole situation saying, don't you think this could be your second chance at being a dad? And it's like, you're really throwing that
do
in
it,
there at
I
this
know.
Moment. She's so good at her job. She is so good at her job.
I did not. I just, I don't know. I felt like that was so bizarre because I just know even like, what, like I know the pandemic does not, I don't, it's not the same, but like just not working for that time.
Yeah.
It's so hard to not, it was really, it, I had to like almost weekly be pulling myself out of like, don't go down the dark hole. Don't go down the dark hole.
Yeah. I remember it was,
it's just
bad.
Like, yeah, it was bad. It really, really wears on your self-esteem to not be working, whatever that is. Like, I feel like I'm not one of these, I don't care what you're doing. If you're waking up and you're going to get a check, bagging groceries or working as a doctor, I do not give a fuck because guess what? You're getting your coin. You're surrounding yourself with other people of your age. Like, have at it.
I think this is another one of those conversations, though, similar to Carl and Lindsay's, where Brock also is working. They vlog every mm-hmm. second of their life. They're getting endorsements. They're getting all that paid things. So it's like, was this a little set up? Part of me is like, was this a reason for Sheena to say on national television that she's the breadwinner? Because that seems like Sheena's MO.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This, it's just, these conversations are just interesting.
Yeah.
On both shows about the finances and stuff.
I can't relate. I think it's really, this is something in Belgium that's so interesting. I mean, if anyone cares, but every person in Belgium gets a prenup. It's just what you do. Right? It's just what you do. It's not like, it's not like, it's not like a thing that it is here that you get a prenup or you don't get a prenup. It's you go to the lawyer when you buy the house. If your parents gave you money or so-and-so gave you like, because that's another thing. A lot of their parents give them money. You put that in the contract and it says if so-and-so breaks up, then you get, you break the house in half. You have to also give the money back to the fat. Like, and it's also like, and like, they just put this contract together. If you're buying a house, if you're getting married, a lot of Meek's friends aren't married, but have property together, have kids together. And so they even have a prenup for that. I mean, it's not for nuptials, but you know what I mean? It's like the same idea.
Yeah.
And it's very common.
When I think about money, I know we've talked about, but I always just assume that like ours will mostly just be separate. Like we'll always have our own bank accounts. Like it'll all like,
oh, that's interesting. Me and my friends talk about this all the time.
And I just like, I don't know. I feel very, having that kind of shit shared or like him paying for anything of mine would make me feel so uneasy.
Yeah.
I would not like that at all.
Yeah. It's so weird for me because
what if we don't make it? And now I'm relying on some of your money to like uphold my current lifestyle.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess. God, no.
I don't. It's me and my friends talk about this way too often, but we have separate bank accounts, but all of our money is shared. I don't know how to say that in a different way. Like I get my check, he gets his check, but then we have one savings account and then everything else is like we pay the bills with the one thing. We have one credit card, like all of the but I think it's also different because when he moved here, like we didn't date. I don't know how to say that in a different way.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it was just like I got married. I get it. I was there. Yeah. Well, anyway,
that was, I could have went down a rabbit hole.
For sure.
I feel like this was another episode where it felt like it was a mid-season episode. The big blow up was obviously Jax fucking Taylor's back on my TV. I do not need Jax in two shows.
I don't need him in two shows. I know everyone online is like, made for TV, made for TV. And like, yes, he's made for TV, but I do not need him back to back hours
on
my TV.
No.
That is
and
a fact.
He came in there. Jax knows the job that he needs to do when he comes in. And he came in and he did just that. So obviously he has something to say to Katie because Katie was talking about him cheating, which I don't know if you heard those rumors on Bravo's and Cocktail this week, but apparently he slept with his publicist at an appearance who's also married over the weekend in Montreal. So
this tracks. This is normal.
It tracks. It 100% tracks. So he just like continues to stay messy. And of course he like probably went in and was like, I'm going to fight with Katie today. Got something to say. And she's like, I just like, don't think about you. I don't care.
Yeah. And I love that for Katie.
Yeah. And then Sheena and Sandoval.
The way that Ariana comforted her friend in this moment, regardless of, you know, all the trash talking that Lala and Sheena have been doing, and the fact that those two have been the first to cuddle up to Sandoval, Ariana put all that shit to the side and went to hug her friend and make sure she was okay.
She would said,
love and to hear Lala's thoughts on this. Would love. I'm sure we're going to get them on a podcast.
Mid-conversation, she said, I can't let her leave like this.
Yeah.
Got up and walked after her.
Yeah.
Would Sheena do the same thing?
Well, Sheena would do it because
there's a camera in her face.
Yes, there's an opportunity for her. As soon as you said it and I said no, I was like, no. This is the perfect moment for Sheena to shine as a really good friend.
It would only be if there was a camera.
100%.
Speaking of good friends, Katie and Ariana, I don't know if you heard, but there is an opening date for the sandwich shop, May 22nd. So when we're out there in July, we will be visiting. Any other thoughts on this episode? Anything else that you care about from this episode?
No.
I feel like I'm just ready for the reunion to see what's going to happen. We have to only have a few weeks left.
I really am just so ready for like some news to start coming out about what I don't think even if the show goes on, I think Ariana's done.
Yeah.
didn't say it at this when she was asked at that. Did you see this at all?
Yeah.
She was like, if it makes sense for me, I haven't made. She made some sort of vague, ambiguous sort of statement. Yeah.
But she's hosting Love Island. Yeah, she's like, going to come back to be on Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, it was definitely. And I think also considering how this season went and the stuff with the producers and the way the edit has been done and the constant attempts to give him an arc, like, she don't need this in her life. This was a building block for her life.
For sure. And I don't think she thought this would ever take her to this place, and good for her.
I don't.
And do your thing, girl. Live your life.
I hope she doesn't come back.
Me too, for her. I would miss to see her, but anyhow.
We'll see her, though. That's the thing. We'll just, like, we'll probably end up seeing her.
I'll get you into Love Island, finally.
Finally.
Let's talk about the Valley. What do you think?
Well, what do I think?
Okay, this is what I think. No, you think.
Okay, the scene that they set up I know we talk about production a lot, but, you know, we got to give it to them here. As in, like, not give it to them because it was so obvious. But you trying to tell me Jax and Jasmine are going to get a drink? Like, some of these scenarios are so bizarre to me. I'm like, couldn't have tried a little harder to convince us?
And also, Jax just so feels weird. Like he's inappropriate with everyone. Like, the fuck you eyes that he gives to everyone.
We'll get there because I know that I've said some stuff about not being a jealous type, but you see my man going over to that Burning Man booth and staring and hanging around there that long, that not down, not down for that. That's the line.
I would love to see you jealous. I think the one thing that was really interesting, or just like Kristen and Jax, like, scheming, you know, that Kristen and Jax, like, a month before this started, was like, all right, what's in your text chain? What's in your text chain? What do we got on the books? What can we bring together? You know that they had, like, a powwow meeting, some drinks to talk about what the strategy was going to be for the season. And it's just like them, like, then Kristen gets her new boyfriend involved. Like, that man is all in. I was like, you're new here and you are all in on this?
That's why I'm thinking he's really, like, taking this opportunity. And
yeah, it's kind of scary.
I kind of feel bad for Kristen.
Police.
I know.
She is so messy, and if you're messy, you fucking attract, pardon my French, you attract mess.
I know. I feel like we're going to read in the next couple months, like,
yeah,
this is going to be over.
Speaking of Kristen and Jax being messy, like, Jesse also is reality TV gold, because we all already hate him and think he's a scuzz. Knowing now, even we know now that his wife cheated on him, allegedly. We know that.
Wouldn't you?
100%. And we still don't even feel bad for him. We're like, so what? No one cares that you cheated. No one cares. And we're going to a hairline party.
This hairline party. Okay. The way, you know what I will say, though?
Tell me.
I love that everyone is talking about, like, you know, I guess be willing to break the fourth wall a little bit. Everyone's kind of in on the joke. They're like, he ain't bald. Like, but get your coin. Like, everyone's joking about, like, cash those checks. Like, we are here to support you cashing checks. And you know what? I was living for that. I liked that. It felt like, cool, we're all in on the joke together. Like, the audience sees, like, they see us, we see them, we're all good.
It felt like we were at Jax's business launch episode. Like, we're going to drive by Jax's bar, we're going to do his hairline party. Like, this is, he just feels like the B-list of Tom Schwartz and Sandy's, the things that he's crashing in on, and it's like, okay, whatever you need to do. And how... I don't feel bad for Brittany anymore. I was feeling bad for her.
This is so interesting. I sort of was. And then yesterday I was talking to someone also from Phil. Actually, you guys, like, in some ways, like, remind me of each other. And she was saying the same thing about, she's like, I don't feel bad for Britney. Like, you signed up for this. Like, you stuck by him when he was making, like, racist comments, really making, like, just negative comments about a ton of people, just was totally out of pocket. The way that he used to speak to Lisa Vanderpump, regardless of how I feel about Lisa Vanderpump, that was still your employer at some point. And, like, the chances that she continued to give you and the way you just were so dismissive of her. It's just like, that is not like that does Brittany that you are an adult. Like, you could have spoke up or not been supportive of that, or I don't know, not be with this person.
Her like, whole life, the last however many years they were together, was trying to smooth things over with everyone that he's wronged.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. And you have a, just put the divorce papers in already. Doesn't matter.
I mean, definitely not getting back together.
No. And then we get to the hallway fight where Kristen says, if I wanted to do this, I would have just been on Vanderpump Rules. Girl, what you're doing the same. Like, what are you talking about? You brought this drama and then you're trying to say like, no, I don't want the drama.
I don't think Vanderpump Rules was an option.
No, they didn't want you, boo. The funniest thing was when Jasmine said that she had she called it a bingo card. She's like, she has like a dictionary bingo card and she just keeps checking off the words abuse, check, racist, check, something else, triggered. Check,
triggered.
Republican, the biggest trigger of all, not a Republican, right?
So insane. Oh man. Yeah. And the way that she tosses around, I was protecting you. It's like, could you ever imagine like saying that about a friend? Like,
to a friend, she's married. Like, who, for the big bad wolf? Okay. Goldilocks, get the hell out of here.
Weirdo. Don't protect me.
And the whole time she's low key threatening her with a secret. You're literally threatening her every, I'm protecting you from your secret. I'm holding your secret. It's like
the whole thing is such a mess. The way that Jesse flies, did you see him? The way he shoves Zach?
Oh.
It was aggressive. Like when I rewatched it today, I was like, damn, he really shoved him. Zach was like, up against, and his neck. And Jesse is ready to rumble.
I get the feeling that allegedly Jesse probably also likes to go skiing the same way that Jaxie Boy likes to go skiing.
Yeah.
They seem very similar also in their personalities, like in a way that they know what they came here to do.
Yeah. Do you think he knew about the affair already?
He had to have. I think that's what she's going to call everybody in the room and say, like, FYI, last year, because Kristen's just holding it over her head. I think she's going to call everybody in the room, say, last year, we were having a tough time. I dated someone. Kristen knows about it. She's trying to blackmail me with it. Are we good? Let's move on.
It's also a well-known fact that, like, if you're getting on this on one of these shows, and Andy Cohen has said it, if you have closets or skeletons in your closet that you do not want to come out, do not go on reality TV. So it was even if he didn't know during, I think it was definitely addressed before they agreed to film.
Yeah. I have to say the Valley is bringing it though for a new show.
Bring in it. I'm
hooked.
I'm in on the Valley.
But I do not want to see Sheena and Lala on the Valley next season. I'd rather see new people, but I don't want to see them. I don't care to see them.
I think we also have maybe fine if they want to, if who knows what it looks like in 2-3 seasons from now, because I really hope the show goes for a while because I am into it, but we're current. I don't want to speak for both of us, but I think I am speaking for both of us when I say we are having Sheena and Lala fatigue right now. We are
100%
totally done with them, and I think aside from James and Katie and Ariana is obviously a main character without trying to be a main character. So she's involved in some capacity, but it's not like she's bringing a ton to the show this season. It's really, to me, it's Katie, Allie, and James are the only reason I'm watching this show right now.
I'm going to say I do like watching Shorts. I think he's kind of funny. I'm going to say it. He's goofy. He's kind of funny.
He's such a Sandoval apologist that I wish he could let that go. Even if you do feel that way about Sandoval, does he need it to be an entire personality trait? It's like become one of his things. Like he's this yeah. and he's this, and then he's also a Sandoval apologist. And it's like, but why? Like, dude, does it
like that's what his dating profile would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like long walks on the beach, yes, Tom Sandoval, like, and yes, pie.
Love pickleball and, you know, whatever.
Tom Sandoval.
I own a bar and I love Tom Sandoval and apologizing for him all at any opportunity I'm given.
I do think it's kind of crazy how aware Schwartz is this season of his decisions. And I do think you see that he's made progress. That's why I like him a little. I'm good on the rest of them. I don't like Vanderpump's just not good. One more season and then we're going to be done.
I'm telling you, they're going to do it and they're going to wrap it up like in a little bow. I don't even know if we'll need like a full season.
No, because what the heck are they going to talk about?
What are they going to talk about? And like they've all said it before, like we don't really know how to move forward with this. This is
right.
Unprecedented. Like we've always, I think it was Katie and Sheena when they were being interviewed about that Chili's commercial. It was kind of like, how do you guys move forward now? And they basically were saying like, you know, we've always been resilient and been able to bounce back. But at this point, I don't know what forward really looks like. It's just it's broken and no one feels really passionate to get it back together.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of wrapping it up, before we wrap up today, I don't want to forget my IG shout outs of the week because I got good ones.
I got. I went down a weird Wikipedia hole, if that counts.
Okay. Do you want to shout it out?
No, you go first.
Okay. So my IG shout out of the week is this IG chick, and she calls herself, she says, so she takes videos of her making her husband's lunch. And in parentheses says, watch me make my husband lunch. And then says, lower middle class wife. And it's just her making her husband's lunch. And her name is Mama J. Ray. So if you're looking for an interesting, if you're looking for an interesting follow there. I also want to shout out Grandma Droniak, who does, who is so funny. It's this grandma. And the funniest one that I just saw was she did an OOTF, an outfit of the funeral. Oh my God. And she's going to the funeral and she's got disco balls. And she's like, that's because I want them to see me in heaven. Hi, Helen. She's so funny. She has like millions of followers.
Of course it's
Helen. So check her out too. But you want to talk about your Wikipedia hole or are you good?
I'm just deep. I'm like looking at the tab right now. I'm really just deep into the history of goth. So... I don't know why. I've been down this hole before. Actually, this is like probably my fourth time in the last like year. I don't
know. My question is, why is your, of all the resources you could pick from, Wikipedia is the resource you're starting with? Oh, well,
I just called it a Wikipedia hole. But okay. No, currently I'm reading the story of subculture, goth.
Well, on that note, let's wrap it in a choker. We will be back we'll be back next Friday with an all new episode of Bonded by Bravo. Like us on TikTok and Instagram at Bonded by Bravo Pod. If you don't already follow us on Apple and Spotify, please do so. Subscribe to us so that we can see those likes. We'll be back next Friday, folks. See you then.